did not go straight back to heaven. He did not. That there were about 40 days between the resurrection and his ascension. And there is one particular incident I want to look at today. But before we get to that scene in the Bible, I want us to look at a few passages that we've read during the past 3 weeks. And so I'm going to read some passages from the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 26, Matthew chapter 26. And I want to set this scene up for you, what we're going to talk about today, Matthew chapter 26. And I'm going to read from, start at verse 33 through 35. And Jesus has just said, listen, guys, I'm about to be arrested. And when I am, all you guys are going to, like, vanish, right? Go away, run away from me. And again, we went over this the past few weeks. And then Peter declared this. He said, even if everyone else deserts you, I will never what? You know what he said? I'll never desert you. Jesus replied, listen, man, I know you're all gung-ho. Listen, if you ever led any type of ministry, all right, you've seen people that come to you, oh, yeah, I'm with you, man. Oh, yeah, I'm going to do it. And about 6 months, you say, you seen such and such? You seen brother? That's just the life of ministry. Amen. If you can't deal with the ebbs and flow, the ups and downs, don't even get into it. Amen? Because people are going to disappoint you, right? And so Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, Peter, this very night before the rooster crows, you will deny 3 times that you even know me. No, Peter replied. No, he's the, nope. Even if I have to die with you, he says this, I'll never deny you. I'll never deny you. No way, man. All the rest of the 11, they going to back out, but not me. I'm with you to the end. And so, let's go to Matthew 26. I'm going to read verses 57 and 58. Then the people who had arrested Jesus led him to the home of Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of religious law and the elders had gathered. And we looked at this phrase here. Remember this phrase? At the first phrase of verse 58. Meanwhile, Peter followed him at a distance. Remember verses 33 through 35? I'm really to the end. Now we find here, in verse 58, it says, Peter followed him at a distance. Remember we talked about how many of us, we live this Christian, this Christ-like life, and we follow the Lord at a distance. You know, sometimes I think we struggle with wanting to keep one leg in the world and one leg in the church. Or we say, how much of the world can I participate in and still be saved? Huh? Yeah, not here at Lighthouse, but other churches have issues with people like that, but not here. Right? No? Yeah. So now let's look at some verses farther down, verse 69, same chapter 26. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. You also were with Jesus of Galilee, she said. But he denied it for them all. That I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Then he went out to the gateway where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow right here, with Jesus of Nazareth, he denied it again with an oath. I don't know the man. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, Surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses, and he swore to them, I don't know the man. Immediately a rooster crowed. And then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Here's a question for you, and you'll understand later on. Is your life that you're living right now pointing people towards Christ, pointing them away from Christ, or just making them flat out confused by the way you live? Is your life pointing people towards Christ, pointing them away from Christ, or just flat out confusing them by the way you live? Understand this. This new building that we're going to construct, it is going to attract many people to the ministry. But it is your lifestyle that mimics the lifestyle of Christ that will keep men and women coming back week after week. How you live your life, listen, how you live your life is so important, because there are a number of unchurched, unsaved onlookers who are peering over the fence of your life to see how you live in your life. They not living saved, but they're looking to see how well you live saved. And watch this, because when they're in trouble and they're going through some things, if you live a life that mimics Christ, whether they talk about you and laugh at you, when they're down and out, listen, they go come and knock on your door. Can you pray for me? Is your life one that mimics Christ? The building is going up, okay? It's going to attract men and women. But what's going to keep God sending men and women here Sunday after Sunday is the way that we mimic his life. Amen? Amen? How you live is so very important to the expansion of the kingdom of God. I want to make an introduction to everyone here today, because we talked about this for a long time, and we've got our construction manager who's going to manage the project for us here today. Jim, why don't you come up and grab a mic and give Jim a hand as he comes up. And you got that thing ready, Holly, back there. Come on up, Jim. Come on up here, man. Now, Jim, in your former life, you were a worship leader too, right, Jim?
I was.
Yeah. and now you started out in construction. Tell me a little bit about you.
Okay, I started out in construction. I went to trade school, worked my way up from a carpenter, foreman, superintendent, project manager, senior project manager, operations manager. Kind of climbed my way up through. But still, while I was doing that, God called me to ministry. And I was bivocational,
right,
in the ministry. So I was worship pastor, youth pastor at the same time.
You understand ministry then, huh?
I understand ministry.
Yeah, you do. and so we brought you on, and I'm glad that you are here. Tell us, what do you foresee, and how will this building go? What are some of the things we're looking at right now?
You mean as far as starting?
Yeah, as far as what you're going to do for us.
Okay. So what I'm going to do is help in the process. I don't know if anyone's ever built anything, house, remodel, kitchen. If you have your kitchen remodeled, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because there's a process you go through, and they say, what, fish and water go bad after 3 days?
Right.
And so managing that process and helping the expectations of the congregation to understand, hey, this is the process, this is how long it takes, and these are some of the hurdles, and try to navigate through that. So really trying to get the project from start to finish with minimal bumps.
Why is it better to have you than me run it?
He put me on the spot on this one.
What happens to pastors sometimes?
Let me tell you what happens. The statistics are 85 to 90% of pastors during a building project will either not be there at the completion of the project or when the project is completed, they leave. And the reason why is because there's so much stress that's on them that they just they can't handle it. And so one of the reasons why I'm also here is to take that stress off the pastor and so that he can keep doing what he's supposed to do, is minister to the congregation.
Right. Now, we've got some slides here today, right? Give me that next slide. That's a little about you, isn't it?
Yeah, that tells me a little bit. That's a little bit about my company. We're in Colorado, and that doesn't make a difference whether I'm in Colorado because I'm just keep coming out here.
Right.
I'm also in California and Georgia, and those are some of the things we do. We do commercial work. I used to help churches, primarily just churches, do building and financing. That's what I used to do. You can go to the next slide there. That's just a little bit some of the projects we've done, a little bit kind of like, hey, this is who we are, this is what we do. But I've done projects. Go to the next one if you can. This is me before when I had a little hair.
Oh, yeah, I'll say that, Jim.
And everyone in the office, they say, hey, you need to get a new picture because it's not fair that you have an older picture with hair, but I think I look better without my hair.
You look mighty handsome.
Yeah. So I told you before that I work my way up. I've done projects up to $150 million from ground up, so I kind of know the process of that. Go ahead to the next one, because I'm kind of don't want to talk about me. What I want to talk about is this building.
Right.
So this is kind of a rendering of what the building's going to look like. That's going to sit back over here, kind of a conceptual. There's going to be a couple changes in the front depending on what the planning says, but that's the overall look of the building. And the next slide you'll see, it's going to talk about what the purpose of the building is. You know, Pastor led in when he started talking about what does our life represent as we bring the new building in. So the purpose of it is to connect with the community. Anybody can put a building up, right? But it has to have a purpose. And so the church is not here just to have a social club. It's really for the community. So that's what it's for. It's for the community and for the congregation, and it's going to be right behind the building. But you notice the time frame is not there, and that's because there's some things, and later on I'll stay afterwards and answer some questions, but there's some things that dictate that time frame, and I can cover that a little bit later on there. Next one, that's the floor plan. Of what it's going to look like. Right over here, there's a multi-purpose room that's going to go to the community, maybe some worship in there. And then there's going to be a commercial kitchen. That commercial kitchen is going to give some really...
They like to eat, too. Yeah.
That's why they call me Big Jim. But that's kind of the layout of the floor plan a little bit. And we'll go to the next one there. This is kind of some of the features of the project. It's going to be a 6,000 square foot building. It's a commercial kitchen. There's going to be some outdoor landscaping that'll look nice. Later on, as we go along, you'll see the whole concept, probably on another rendering that I'll get to you. And then it's going to be those are the things you have: ceremonies, anniversaries, birthdays, potlucks. Potlucks.
Yeah.
Next one. Yesterday we met with this organization called MAPS. And who are they? If you want to turn to the next one there, they are a group of volunteers from AG that go out and help churches build. And most of them, they have campers. They pull up in campers. They stay on the site, and they volunteer, really, their time to help churches build. And they actually do a really good job doing that. So we started the process of talking with them. Pastor told me they've already been approved for the project to get people, but there's a certain steps we have to go through to let them know, hey, we're ready for the project, and they put it out and say, hey, you know, we need this, we need electricians, we need carpenters, and they'll come and help us out. And they do this as a volunteer ministry. Right. You know, if you haven't done construction, it's lifting some of those boards and things, that's pretty heavy work, and they're volunteering. Next slide there. Oh, that's what they do. Some of the interior work. We're looking at taking the building. We don't have everything worked out yet, but we're going to build the building and close it. And we're looking at these elements and a couple more that they're going to help us out with. So one of the things that I would ask you guys is to really pray for the project and also support the project financially and through prayer, and also support the pastor. You know, the board, you have a really good, from the board members that I've met, they're pretty well-rounded, very, very intelligent, and they also know that it's going to be an undertaking. But just think of what's going to happen when that building is up and you have kids in the neighborhood that could come in and have some fun inside there. You have people that will, hey, I need a commercial kitchen, and they come there and they walk inside the building, and now they're in the building, and guess what? It's a lot easier for them to step inside the church.
Amen.
So just keep praying for Pastor here, praying for me, because I got to remember, you know, it's not me that has to do everything. I need God's help on a lot of, even though I have a lot of construction, it's just a navigating process, but keep him in prayer. And anything that has to happen for the project, the reason why they have me is so that I can take on the load from the pastor. So just remember me, too.
Amen. Thank you, Jim. Jim's going to be here after service as well to answer any other questions that you may have. I'm sure that you will. And so, again, this building will draw men and women here, but it's important that our lifestyle mimics the lifestyle of Christ. Amen. Ephesians 5:1, one of my favorite verses, it says this. It says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children, right? Imitate him. Imitate him. And so Jesus has this issue or situation with Peter, and Peter denies him. And then we see something in Luke chapter 22. Yeah, Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And go there with me, please. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And so this gives some more insight to what we looked at earlier. You see, the disciples, they didn't know what was really going on, and they had all ran away, and Peter was saying, you know, I'm not going to leave you, but he did leave and deny the Lord, and there's this situation that happened in Luke chapter 22. Do you have it? Luke 22, and let's look at verse 60 and 61, and Peter said, man, I do not know what you are talking about. Immediately, while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed. Did you see that? A rooster crowed. And then verse 61 says this. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Now go with me to John chapter 21, and we'll come back to this. But John chapter 21 and verse 15, John chapter 21 and verse 15. And so the Lord has been raised from the dead. He's been resurrected. He's seen the disciples a few times. And then we see him at the seashore after the resurrection. And all of the disciples, all 11 disciples, are present. And Jesus is about to teach one of his final lessons for them and for us. And he has breakfast prepared for them. And let's pick it up at verse 15. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" After breakfast, Jesus asked him, do you love me? You see, I can only imagine Peter's feeling when he saw Jesus there at the seashore and having breakfast prepared and Jesus sitting next to Peter. Wouldn't it go through your mind you'd be kind of apprehensive or awkward at that meeting? Because you know what you had did. And the expectation that you would have is Jesus is really going to get on me. Because wouldn't you get on your Peters in your life? Like, let's talk about the other day. Amen? Peter and Jesus had this special relationship, right? Very special. The 10 other disciples were not present to experience what we read in Luke chapter 22, verse 60 and 61. They were not there to experience the look that Jesus gave to Peter. You know, the Bible does not disclose to us what type of look this was. I want you to just look at your neighbor right now and give him a look that you think that Jesus may have gave to Peter. Like, we just talked about this, man. We just talked about this, and you said there's no way you're going to leave. So at this breakfast, I can just see Jesus sitting next to Peter, and in Peter's mind, he could have thought that, oh, man, here it comes now. Now watch this. There's no rebuke. There's no, remember the other night, man? No. Here's what Jesus says to Peter. He says, do you love me? Jesus was in the ministry of reconciliation, of restoring people. This ministry will expand as we better imitate him. The building is only a tool or an instrument, but it is the Christ-like behavior that God uses to draw men and women to himself. Now here is another tool. Where's Maria? Maria, come on up here, Maria, and help her up, David, and grab a mic. And give Maria a hand as she comes up. Now, last week, we, come on up close. I won't bite you. I won't bite you. Last week, we talked about the vision God had given this church. They had spoken to Sister Ola, and she had told me, and I told the board. And so we got some direction. They said, you know what? You need to talk to Maria. Now, Maria, tell me, what organization do you head?
Vallejo Together.
And we support you, don't we?
Yes, you do.
Yes, we do.
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. And so we were saying, man, you know what we're going to do? We're going to buy these mobile shower units, right? Because we're going to minister to our brothers and sisters who don't have homes to live in or access to showers on a regular basis, right? And so we knew we wanted to do it. We ain't got a clue how to do it. You know, okay, we get the shower and the truck, and lo and behold, someone said, talk to Maria. And what was on your mind even before we talked to you? You had this idea already or what?
Yes. So we, Vallejo, of course, has 600 homeless adults and over 300 homeless children. And we had a day services center that had showers and washers and dryers, but we had to move it to a bigger space so we could have kitchen. And then, as this gentleman said, permits and just all of these things. So it delayed us months, and we're like, mobile showers is the next step. So when the pastor and Tony and Osby called, it was like, we already have the plan for that, so let us email it to you. And then it was just there.
It was a God thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Because God wanted it to happen, because he's in the ministry of reconciling and restoring people to himself. And I tell you what a difference it makes, again, just to be clean. Don't raise your hand, but just think about it. How many here took a shower today? Don't raise your hand.
Yeah.
Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Didn't it feel good? Right? And just turn. Yes. Our brothers and sisters who are homeless don't have that opportunity. And so that's why the Lord wants us to do that. And it'll be ADA compliant? Is that what we're looking at?
It should be ADA compliant. So definitely we're going to get one that is.
It is, right.
Yes.
And then we're going to make the purchase, but you're going to run it.
Yes.
Right?
Happily.
Happily.
Gratefully.
Gratefully. And then, but we need volunteers, don't we?
Yes, we do. So if any of you are free during the week, we are going to launch it midsummer. So it's going to be 4 hours per site. And how it's going to be is it's going to go into different churches' parking lot, and that's where we hook up the water and then have the 4 hours of service and love and then take it out and go to another church. So we're going to launch 3 days a week. So if any of you are free during the weekdays, let me know and we can train you. And it's fairly easy. So you're just basically hanging out with your friends, and they come, and then you just give them some love and some clothing and some food, and then you see them again the next time.
Wow. What do you think it's going to mean to that man, that woman, when you pull up in that mobile shower unit?
It means that God loves me. God was thinking of me.
Right.
God actually came to me.
Right.
Because many times people think that you build or you have the showers at a space, but some people can't walk there. They can't even get a ride there. They don't even feel great to even come out of their tent. There's a lot to say when someone comes to you. And I think, as we know, Jesus came to everyone, and this will be a very visible message to our friends and families that they are loved, they are important, they are worthy, and that we're here for you.
See, this mimics the life of Christ. He left heaven, came here. We're not going to ask the people to come here. We're going to go to them, wherever they're at. Amen? Now, how many of those shower units are in the county?
Zero.
Yeah,
this is going to be the first.
The first one.
First one ever.
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 Ever, ever.
Yeah, ever, ever, ever. Yeah.
And I'm sure they're going to ask us to go to different churches in the counties, or maybe
right.
It'll be duplicated. But what our plan is like on the weekend, especially if you have like festivals like Juneteenth or Pista or whatever, that we would bring it there, because a lot of our friends do go to those events and we want to just be accessible.
Right, right. This is God in action, right? So after the resurrection, you know, great Sunday, clap our hands. But what's next? This is what's next. We don't just come here. We leave here, right? And we go to where they're at to demonstrate God's love to them, because he's in the ministry of reconciliation. And part of reconciliation is restoration and restoring men and women back to a sense of wholeness. Give Maria a hand, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. So let me ask this question again. Is your life pointing people towards Christ, away from Christ, or making them totally confused by the way that you live? If we had no effort to go out and reach men and women with the gospel, with mobile showers, they would be confused as to what the purpose of the church is. Well, if the purpose of the church is to love on me, why are they there and I'm out here in the cold, dirty, and unkept? You see, we have sent a confusing message to men and women. We want them to come here, but we're unwilling to go to them. What Maria said is, when the showers pull up, it's going to communicate a message. Last year, we talked about the names of God, El Rohi, the God who sees. What this says is, God says, I see you. I see you in your tent. I see you underneath that cardboard. I know you're having a hard time. I'm going to send a group of my people to go and love on you. I'm going to give them what they need to get this mobile shower unit up and running so they can come to you and bless you. Because it's because I love you. I want you to understand something. We in this building are not the only ones that God loves. Huh? And there are times that they will feel discarded. Huh? But we're going to love on them. Maria used this term. She calls men and women who have no place to live. She calls them their friends. We're going to befriend them. And then watch this. Watch this. After we've befriended them, after we've given them, allowed them to have these showers and given them clean clothes to put on, watch this. God's going to open up the opportunity for us to share the gospel. Listen, the gospel is the most important thing, no doubt, but we have to place it at the right time. And so we've got to feed them and clothe them and shower them, right? What that does, that prepares their heart to receive from God. Oh, God does love me. You see, we are accustomed to turning water on and standing underneath there for minutes. Amen? But they are not accustomed to that anymore. And so we want them to understand that God loves them and God cares for them. And this is a way to point men and women towards Christ. We can no longer send out confusing messages. Come here. Come to church. Come here. Come here. No, we have to go to them. All right? And so you're going to be challenged for these next few months and even years to give more, to pray more, to volunteer more. If you're not willing to give more, to pray more, to volunteer more, you don't need to be here. I'll say it again. If you're not willing to give more, to pray more, to volunteer more, you don't belong here. Because we're going to be a place, we're going to give more. We thought we would do this 2 years down the road. But the Lord said, no, the time is now. Well, we ain't got the money, Lord. Oh, you got the money. Here's the money. He sent the money. Amen. We don't know how to do this. Oh, I got someone who knows how to do the work. And so Maria is going to run this for us. Amen. Now watch this. Listen to this carefully. It will not have our name on it. It will not have our name on it. It will not point people towards this church. The Lord reminded me, he said, listen, when you do things in secret, I'll reward you openly. Huh? You don't have to say, oh, here comes light out. No. We're just going to pull up. Amen? Hook up that water and start loving on these men and women. Because we are mimicking Christ. Because we're going to be a church that points people towards Christ, not away from him. And we are not going to be a church that confuses the unsaved about what it means to be Christ-like. Listen, Jim said, we love potlucks. Amen? But the build is more than just potlucks. Amen? It's more than just having church. It's for the community. Because we figure the more times they can come up on this campus, the more at ease they are at coming, right? And they may see a bulletin, see a sign, engage in a staff member in dialogue, and that will turn to them coming to know Jesus as their Savior. And if you're not willing to do this, then I'm going to tell you again, you don't belong here. You're not willing to pray, give, volunteer. Is that harsh? Huh? It's the truth, right? So listen to this. We're in this ministry to reconcile men and women back to God. Because we want to point them towards Jesus, we're going to restore them. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, it says something like this. It says, when a brother is overtaken in a fault, right, we who are spiritual, we need to restore that one. We're not going to ask questions of how'd you get here. When the team goes to the Christian Help Center once a month and serves, when the folks come in line, we don't say, well, how'd you get here? Pastor Sam taught me a good lesson. I went to a prison with him to ministry one time. He said, listen, man, when you go in there, don't ask them why they're in here. I said, oh, okay. I guess that's, I don't know what's, that's breaking the prison code, I guess. I don't know what it is. Man, don't do that. So I don't. So when people are overtaken by sin, or just by the ups and downs of life, what position do we take? We take one of restoration. Do we go out of our way to help in the reconciling process? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Watch this. Now, before you get all super spiritual and figure out a way not to go the extra mile, please let me remind you of a verse, and not just an isolated verse. When someone sins against you or someone does a Peter towards you, right, and you get all hurt and mad, remember, and you don't want to restore them, there are people in your life right now that you don't want to restore, right? In Matthew 5, verse 44, it says something like this, love your enemies. Love your enemies. And so you watch this. Your effort in restoring someone back to wholeness may not be received, and that's all right. At least you made the effort. Christ's effort to restore mankind is not always received, but he made the effort. Amen? And it is available to everyone. And so what we're going to do, we're going to make the effort to restore men and women back to wholeness. And so when men and women hurt you or do a Peter to you, you're going to make the effort to restore them. If they receive it, you've gained a brother. If they don't, you've done your part. Amen? Yes. Yes. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. And that'll be the last verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. It says here, and all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us, tell your neighbor, that means you. That means you. God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. The next verse. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. And this is the message here. God's no longer mad at you. Huh? God's not angry with you. Huh? He sent his son to die on the cross for you, and he wants you to be restored. That is the message. So every time a group comes onto this campus to do whatever they call to do, that is the message we share with them. Every time the mobile shower unit pulls up to a spot, that is the message. God's not mad at you. God's not angry with you. God loves you, and he wants you whole. He wants you clean, not just physically clean only, but spiritually clean as well, and that's our job. Are you with me, yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, that was terrible. Are you with me, yes or no?
Yes.
That was a little bit bad. Was that all right, John? Are you with me, yes or no?
Yes.
There you go. That's a lot better. Amen. Listen, this is what God has called us to do. This is the vision here. All right, and God has all the money. God has all the money. So the money won't be an issue. It's our willingness to serve, amen, and give of our time, our effort, and our energy to the kingdom work. The money's not an issue. It's the time and our willingness to do that. We've been given the ministry, the task to reconcile men and women back to God. He wants us to demonstrate his love to those that society has forgotten about. But watch this. There are people in your life today that you have kind of discarded. And you haven't called. They did a Peter to you. Right? They turned their back on you. But remember what Jesus did. Built this breakfast. Told them to come have a meal And he sat right next down to Peter and said this, "Do you love me?" Peter, feeling anxious, what is he going to say? Jesus didn't rebuke him. He said, "Do you love me?" What Jesus was doing is restoring Peter. Restoring Peter. And so what we're called to do, you have people in your life right now who they've been a Peter to you. They were wrong, and you've held it against them for weeks, months, I dare say in some situations, even years. And Jesus is saying, "Yes, Lord, okay, yes." Don't you dare try to reconcile people you don't know back to him while there are still people in your life you don't make the effort to reconcile with. Are you listening to me? We are called to imitate him. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Stand to your feet, everyone. He's in the ministry of reconciliation. So no matter what you've done, what you've said, God loves you. So much so, he sent his son to die for you because he wants things right. Every eye closed, every head bowed for a moment. Yes. Now, I speak to someone here today who needs to leave here today and make the effort of reconciliation. Yeah, yeah. It's been way too long. And yes, I understand they hurt you by doing or saying what they did. And they may not even want to be reconciled. But God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And he has placed it on your heart to make the effort to make it right. Sometimes it's a sister or a brother or a close friend. But God is speaking to your heart now, calling you to mimic his son, the Lord Jesus, who put out the effort to restore Peter back to wholeness. Yeah. Yeah. And every eye closed, every head bowed. And I won't make you come up front, but actually if that's you, if there's someone that you need to go to and to make that, just simply raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you. If that's anyone here today, yes, I see you. 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 Yes, you can put your hands down. Father, thank you that you have given us the ministry of reconciliation. And God, you know the situations that were represented by the hands that were raised today. I pray, God, that you would give each one the courage they need to make that effort, to initiate the process. Give them grace and strength as they do this. And God, prepare their heart, oh God, that even if it doesn't turn out well and they don't want to be reconciled, they'll know that they tried. They made that effort. They mimicked you. They imitated you. So I pray that for those. I pray, God, for the men and women who are going to experience the feeling of being clean through these mobile showers. I pray, God, that you would give us the opportunity afterwards, oh God, to verbally communicate a message of love to them and how much you love them and you care about them and their plight. Yeah, Lord. Thank you that you meet every one of our needs. We have more than enough. And we thank you for it. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Listen, part of our mission statement is to engage, evangelize, and empower. And part of that empowerment is giving people, especially young people, an opportunity to maybe exercise a gift or two. And so last Sunday, we had a young man, two young men, singing this song for the kids skit. And we thought it'd be appropriate to have the young man come and give the closing prayer. If I've told others this before about a vision that a prophet had about a pastor who died in his coffin, had the baton still in his hand. So he never passed it on. We're not going to be like that. Amen? And so we're going to allow people, especially folks younger than me, and I ain't that old, though. But we're going to allow people to exercise and to pray. Amen? So, Angelo, come on up here, son, and grab a mic. We're going to have you pray today. And God called Samuel when he was young. Amen? And this is what we're called to do. We're called to empower people to exercise their gifts. If only folks like me had the mic and never give it a chance, man, they go somewhere else. Amen? And so we have to give them opportunity. I'm going to stand with you, though. And so bow your heads as Angelo gives us a closing prayer.
Thank you, Lord, for this day today. I just want to say thank you for giving everybody here. As people come here, they learn more about you, God. I want to ask you, Lord, that you bring more people so that they could learn about you more. Thank you, Lord, for everything. Thank you for giving me a good time, a great life. I just want to keep on going, reaching for my dreams. I wish everybody else reach for their dreams and don't stop.
Yeah.
I just want to say thank you, Lord, for giving us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Listen, you are released. Jim is going to be here, so if you want any questions that you have for Jim, you can ask those questions. There is a pictorial rendering of the building outside when you leave.